Awesome God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for the laughter and the joy that you have given to us through this worship service. And God, I pray now that you would bless these words that you have given to me to share. And as I share them, I pray that there would be more of you in them and less of me. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I will be preaching the final message in a series that I've been preaching based on the Charles Dickens novel, A Christmas Carol. So far we've spent time this Advent season considering the gospel messages that can be gained through Ebenezer Scrooge's visits and journeys with the ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of Christmas present. And now, in this final week of the series, we will consider the gospel message that comes from the time that he got to spend with the ghost of Christmases yet to come, or the ghost of Christmas future. It's a message of redemption. Amen? It's a message of redemption and hope for this life and hope for the next life. One thing that we know about the journey Scrooge went on, if we saw the movie or read the book, saw the movies, right? There's like 80 of them. One thing we know about the time that he was with the ghost of Christmas future is that he spent time considering his own mortality, didn't he? His own pending death. And one of the ways that the ghost gave him that opportunity was through a visit to his own tombstone. You remember that part? That would be eye-opening, wouldn't it? Be an eye-opening experience. And it was eye-opening for the character Ebenezer Scrooge. It forced him to think about his life and how he wanted to change the way he has lived his life before it was over, that trip to his tombstone. When I was 12 years old, my dad died, and he was only 36 years old, and my mom at the time was only 33 years old. Those are pretty young ages to have to deal with those kinds of things. My grandmother, my grandma, Juanita likes the way I say that for some reason, amen, was just 65 years old when my dad died, and my dad was the second child that he had lost, or she had lost. And I didn't realize it at the time because I was only 12 years old, and 12-year-olds don't realize things like this. But my grandma, looking back, she reacted to my dad's death out of a very deep emotional place, the emotional feelings that she was in the midst of. I don't ever speak ill of my grandma, and I don't think that I'm speaking ill of her now either. But looking back, some of the things that she did, some of the decisions that she made after my dad died seem irrational to me. You see, when he died, she bought enough cemetery plots for every one of us, for the entire family, and she bought a gigantic headstone and had it placed right in the middle of all of those cemetery plots. And the reason why I'm sharing that story with you today is because of how it has always affected my mom. That my grandma did that. You see, mom's name is etched into that headstone. And so when she goes there, she sees her name and her birth date, 1949, and a dash that follows it. All of that on a tombstone in a cemetery. My mom hates that. She's always hated that. Not only because when it first happened, she was just a kid, right? She was 33, she was just a kid, so not only because of that, but also because she's remarried, right? She's remarried, and she has a different name, and she plans to be buried next to my stepdad when that time comes. So those things make it uncomfortable for her, but ultimately, it's just uncomfortable to think about our death, right? It's uncomfortable to see your name on a tombstone in a cemetery and to think about your death. I suspect it's a legitimate concern that she has and that she has had for all of these years. Most people surely would not celebrate at the opportunity to go to the cemetery and see their name on a stone there, right? Especially at 33 years old. Considering our own mortality is not something that we really enjoy doing too much, is it? It wasn't something that the character Ebenezer Scrooge was very excited about either, as Charles Dickens depicted that. The ghost of Christmas future gave Scrooge a glimpse of his tombstone. You remember that scene those scenes. He gave him a glimpse of his tombstone, which had his name etched in to the stone, and it frightened him to see it, didn't it? It frightened him to see his name on his tombstone. Scrooge had come to realize that he had not been living a very good life for a lot of years. And so thinking about his death and the idea of having no time to change that, no time to live a more helpful or loving or compassionate life, that was very scary to him, right? Seeing his name on his tombstone was frightening. But then Matt Rawl, the author of the book, The Redemption of Scrooge, he writes in the book, Scrooge wakes up from the strangest dream he has ever had. Can you all agree with that? That would be a strange dream. So he says, Scrooge wakes up from the strangest dream he has ever had. He opens a window and discovers that it is Christmas morning, and he has been given a chance to change his ways. He did nothing to earn it. Rather, it was a gift, and he is so full of joy that he immediately hits the streets to make a difference in the world. Scrooge had spent most of his life feeling heavy, right? We can learn that from reading about him. He spent most of his life feeling heavy, weighed down by his desire for more money and his desire for avoiding people and for judging Bob Cratchit and for going to great lengths to be as uncompassionate toward people in need as he could possibly be. And so many other things were weighing him down. But when Scrooge woke up from that dream and realized that he was alive and that it was Christmas morning, he said that he felt light as a feather, right? He said he felt light as a feather. The weight was gone. The weight was gone from his shoulders. He had been redeemed, and he knew that he had been redeemed, and the weight was gone. I love that part of the story, A Christmas Carol, because the light as a feather Scrooge is so much better and so much more enjoyable than the weighed down Scrooge. Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes I am like a weighed down Scrooge. My wife and kids would be like, yep. Sometimes I carry around weight that I wish wasn't there too. And while some of that weight is actual, if you're wondering, if I notice, I do. About 30 pounds probably. Nothing. That's interesting. All right, I'm going on a diet. So even though some of it is actual weight, I'm not really referring to that. I'm referring to my sin, right? And I'm referring to my doubts, and I'm referring to my fears. I'm referring to all of the things that weigh me down and keep me from seeing and experiencing God's love and God's care for me through Christ. Sometimes I carry a lot of extra weight around with me, sort of like Ebenezer Scrooge did before that strange night and those strange journeys with those strange visitors. How about you? And I'm not talking about actual weight. Are there things that weigh you down in this life? Are there heavy weights bearing down on you? Do you have fears? Do you have worries? Do you have regrets? Do you have doubts that you wish were just not there anymore? Do you ever feel like Ebenezer Scrooge must have felt before he woke up from that dream and realized that he wasn't dead after all, but that he had more life to live and a brand new outlook with which to live it? Do you carry extra weight around with you when you live this life? Well, I have good news. Christmas. Christmas is good news for all who carry around extra weight with them. Our Redeemer was born, and that is good news. Amen? Our Redeemer was born. And Paul the Apostle, he shared that good news in his letter to the Roman church. Here it is in a nutshell. You have been redeemed. Amen? You have been redeemed. For you, there is now no condemnation. The weight of your sin has been lifted because God sent his only Son, Jesus, to be born for us. Now you can have that light as a feather feeling too. Amen? That is good news, isn't it? Despite all of the things and despite all the feelings and people and circumstances that weigh you down, the hope that you can have, the hope that we can have because Jesus was born, it offers us the same opportunity for living this life, light as a feather, as Ebenezer Scrooge was offered on that Christmas Day morning. And it is great news, isn't it? You see, even though we are mortal beings, even though we are going to die one day and likely have our names etched into a tombstone if we don't already, and even though we sometimes consider that day with dread and fear, what happened on that first Christmas, what happened when Jesus was born, offers us so much hope for the future that the weight of this world does not get to keep us down. Amen. It does not get to keep us down with the hope we have because of Jesus. The weight of this world isn't quite so heavy anymore. It doesn't have to be quite so heavy anymore because Jesus was born, and that is great news. Paul's words to the Roman church in the passage that Greg read for us this morning, they aren't typically read at Christmas time, are they? You guys probably thought I'd lost my mind when you saw it up there, like, ah, he forgot it was Christmas Eve. And yet his words are all about the hope we can have because Jesus was born, right? It is a Christmas passage. It's all about the hope we can have because Jesus was born, because there ever was a Christmas. Paul says in the passage, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Paul reminds us through this passage that God sent Jesus to lighten the load of the world. God sent Jesus to lighten the load of the world. God sent Jesus so that the weight of the world that wants so badly to rest on your shoulders, our shoulders as we live this life, it does not get to, right? It does not get to rest on our shoulders. Paul tells us that when we live this life in the Spirit, when we live godly lives and follow and trust Jesus and accept the redemption that he was born to offer us, death does not get to win. Death is not the end. Life is. Amen? That's Christmas. And knowing that, knowing we have been redeemed and death is not the end, can and hopefully will give us peace here and now, right? Paul says to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace here. Do you see the clear connection that the weird dream Scrooge was given and this gospel truth? Do you see the clear connection? Scrooge had his mind set on the flesh, didn't he? Clearly, Scrooge had his mind set on the flesh. His mind was set on all of the things of this world, and so death was a very scary thing for him. This life came with much weight bearing down on his shoulders. But then he woke up, right? Then he woke up and he got to feel the feeling of redemption. And all of a sudden, the weight was lifted and he felt light as a feather, and he had a renewed hope for the future. Because Jesus was born. That is what Paul tells us that we can have in Jesus. Amen? That's what we can have in Jesus. Because Jesus was born, because of Christmas, we have been redeemed. We have been redeemed, and if we accept that redemption, and if we live in the Spirit, the weight of this world will begin to lift from our shoulders, and we will be offered renewed hope for our futures as well. What if you received and believed this truth today? What if you received and believed this truth this Christmas? What if you celebrated Christmas this year with your redemption in mind, with a renewed hope for the future, for your future in mind? What if, as you celebrate the birth of Jesus this year, you remembered and embraced and gave glory to God for what it means for you personally. It means God loves you enough to send his son to redeem you. Amen. I hope that is personal to you today. It means you have a redeemer. It means you can have a renewed hope for the future. It means even though you are mortal, death does not win. Life does. And Christmas means you can live this life as light as a feather too. And so that's my prayer for all of you this morning, that you will know that you have been redeemed because Jesus was born, and that the weight of this world would, I pray that you would know the weight of this world would be lifted from your shoulders because Jesus was born, and that you will have a renewed hope for the future because Jesus was born. And in addition to that, let me also pray this as we close this series, that we would go about Christmas the way Charles Dickens tells us Ebenezer Scrooge promised to go about it from that day on. He said, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year." And in the final paragraphs, Dickens reports that Scrooge knew how to keep Christmas well. And he adds at the very end, "May that be truly said of us and all of us." And so may that also be truly said of us and all of us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this story. We thank you for Charles Dickens' imagination. But God, it's not so far from the gospel, what he tells us. So God, as we close this series and as we consider our own mortality, I pray, God, this Christmas you would help us to consider our own redemption even more so. God, we thank you that Jesus was born so that we could be redeemed. We thank you that we can receive him every day so that the weight of this world might be lifted from our shoulders and we might have a renewed hope for our future. We pray all this in the precious name of Christ. Amen.